Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of informing and motivating listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 5 regional stations, as well as 4 additional stations in Virginia. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. We sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support of any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support us in this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale.
Go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donate button or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're having a discussion today with Dr. Stephen Grable. Dr. Grable is a medical doctor. He practices regular medicine as well as holistic medicine. And I'm thankful that he's with us. We're talking about the protocol that multitudes have put into place, and that is the requirement to wear a mask, with the understanding by some that if you don't wear a mask, you're going to die with COVID-19, that it's going to just jump out and get you. In fact, you know, several weeks back, the governor in California restricted people that couldn't even go to the beach because they said when those waves roll in, the waves could splash COVID on you. In fact, all of the churches, for the most part, are closed, still closed in California, because somehow, some way, there's the demented, demonic philosophy that in churches there's a major spread of COVID in and through the churches. And the ridiculous idea that wearing a mask all day, every day, inside and outside, is going to deliver you, save you, prevent you from getting COVID-19. Before we get back with our physician today, Dr. Stephen Grable, let me remind you that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go with the question or comment, please.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Yes, all these government calls to cancel Thanksgiving, wear a mask, even while eating, keeping 6 feet between others, may be well-meaning, but there are people who did all of these things and they're still vulnerable to the virus. I smell a rat. There's some control freaks out there. Some personality types get a cheap thrill manipulating and dominating other people. The governor of Michigan comes to mind. If the government gets away with COVID-19 restrictions, then get ready for driving restrictions, food restrictions, and even regulations for bathroom breaks.
I believe you're exactly right. That's an insightful statement. Dr. Grable, would you like to respond to that suggestion or those thoughts?
Sure. I agree with the caller 100%. And one of the things I wanted to read this to you, because I think this ties in nicely with our discussion. There was a recent study from UCLA and Stanford that looked at 100 of the most populated countries in the world and found becoming infected with COVID-19 when not wearing a mask or social distancing was 1 in 3,836. They also found that a person had a 1 in 852,000 chance of requiring hospitalization and a 1 in 19.1 million chance of ending up in the intensive care unit. Now, I know over the radio, sometimes numbers don't, you know, they get lost a little bit. But the bottom line of this is that a top 2 well-established university settings found that basically wearing a mask does nothing. And in fact, my argument is that if you're taking vitamin A, D, C, and zinc, and I can go over that later, what I recommend,
yes,
you are in better shape not wearing a mask, because you're going to look, you're going to come in contact with a virus. And I think what we're seeing today, you know, as you pointed out, they're just doing more mask sp- screening. I mean, they're just, you know, doing millions and millions of tests every day. Most of us, if not all of us, have already been exposed to this thing. And so you're not hearing, it's very interesting how you're not hearing about the numerator. You're hearing the denominator is getting bigger and bigger, you know, the cases that have a positive test, which does not necessarily correlate with disease. So what happens is when the denominator keeps getting bigger and bigger, the fraction is going down. And Russ Blaylock, who I really respect, he believes that if you look at the numbers, it's probably the death rate is probably about 0.2%, which is just slightly above influenza.
That's exactly right. And yet we're being frightened to death in America with Americans running around in hysteria and fear, willing to, as our caller suggested, willing to simply bow and bend at every mandate coming out of government. We've never had this in the history of the United States of America. In fact, you're perhaps, I'm sure, aware of the statistical data. 85% of those that have died with COVID-19 were mask wearers, 85% of them. So that's good evidence there that masks do not prevent the virus. Correct me if I'm wrong, and for the benefit of our listeners, discuss this for us from a medical perspective. We call it COVID-19. That has the indication to me that there have been at least 19 different strains of COVID. And it's my understanding that common cold is the great-great-great-granddaddy of all of what we would call the COVID strains today. Is that right or is that wrong? Give us a little information and clarity on that.
Yes, these are in the families called coronaviruses. And so you're right. This is just an end stage or later development. My belief is, although I know the evidence right now is somewhat circumstantial, I do believe that this virus was formulated in the lab. Judy Mikovits, said virologist I alluded to earlier, said back in January, February, that clearly there's no biological way that this virus spontaneously mutated in nature. This is all pure nonsense. So whether or not it was put deliberately on the public or escaped out of a poorly run facility, well, people can debate that. But if you look back at 2010, the Rockefeller Institute was talking about this very thing, and I think it's been in the planning stages for years. I'm sure that some people would bristle at that idea, but I think there's if you start going down the rabbit holes and you start connecting the dots, you start to see a pattern here that is very suspicious.
Absolutely. And to develop that thought a little further, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation that's in control of about 6 out of the 9 major pharmaceutical labs in the world. And it was Bill Gates and his gathering back in 2005, 2006, then again in 2015, where they set up a hypothetical pathogen, COVID pathogen, and a pandemic, and what would we do? And, of course, it's the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation that has Dr. Fauci and Dr. Birx on the payroll as part of the directors for the foundation. And so, naturally, they're pushing for an ultimate vaccination that will come out of the Bill and Melinda Gates, repertoire of businesses. And yet most are not recognizing that Bill Gates is a eugenist, and he's also believes in population control. And on CNN News, of all places, he was interviewed back in September, and with a smile on his face, talking about the potential of their vaccine coming to the forefront. And he said, of course, we realize that we will lose probably 750,000 to 1 million people that will die as a result of the vaccine. But with a smile, then he says, but what is that in comparison to the millions of lives that will be saved around the globe with the vaccine? And you go back to the history of the Bill and Melinda Gates vaccination program for several diseases in Nigeria and India, et cetera, et cetera. Hundreds of thousands were killed. Hundreds of thousands were lamed and maimed for life. And every one of the females that took the vaccination were sterilized. And I believe that's a motive behind that. And as you said, Dr. Grable, I'm of the opinion, based on what I call well-founded research on the subject, and the virologist out of China that's fled to America now, that says it was in fact developed in the lab, and as a result of that being developed in the lab, I'm of the opinion that it was released accidentally, but they were developing it as a weapon material, and it was accidentally released, and the whole world now is suffering as a result of it. And I believe that's one of the reasons that China hates President Trump so much, and that's the reason China is for Joe Biden, because of allowing China to control America once again. But all of that is yet to be seen if it shall ever come to the forefront. But going back to that, it will be the ultimate vaccine that's on the fast track. Speak to the issue, Dr. Grable. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with Dr. Stephen Grable. Dr. Grable and his clinic, Complementary Care Center, operates on the basis of writing prescription when it is necessary, but treating the whole body with what has come to be known as holistic medicine. Dr. Grable, when it comes to the vaccination that is on the horizon, what is your position on that? Should we, as people, as citizens, rush to stand in line to be vaccinated? And the second question linked to that, does the government have the authority to force us to be vaccinated?
Well, this is one of my favorite subjects. I have spent somewhere between 100 and 200 hours studying vaccines. There are two wonderful tomes on the subject, one by Suzanne Humphreys, a nephrologist from Britain, called Dissolving Illusions, and another one by Richard Moskowitz, who's a brilliant MD. He's the guy you call when you go to vaccine court. So I've got over 100 pages of notes that I've condensed from these. So you really, I think, to understand what I try to teach my patients is, whether you're looking at medicine, religion, or politics, always read a lot of different points of view and use your God-given ability to make sense and to tie, you know, connect the dots. Well, if you go back, if you look at vaccines, if you ask a physician, what was the greatest invention in medical history, they will look at you like you have three heads and say, of course, it's vaccines. And yet, if you go back, you can download Suzanne Humphrey's book free. She doesn't even charge for it. And you can see every graph of every single infectious disease through sanitation and nutrition had almost reached zero when they introduced the vaccine. And if you look at smallpox, there was a spike in smallpox after the introduction of the vaccine. So this notion where they start out with the premise that vaccines are basically necessary, safe, and effective, I have strong arguments against. There are maybe a handful of vaccines one could debate, strep B for infants, rabies, that sort of thing. But in general, with my patients, what I suggest is to become knowledgeable and realize that these vaccines, since the 1986 Vaccine Act, you cannot sue a vaccine manufacturer. And I had an interesting chat with Andy Wakefield. I don't know who Andy is, but he was the GI doc that blew the whistle on MMR vaccines and autism. And Britain, just their heads were exploding because he did good, solid data and research. And he said that politically, when you can get people to come to understand that you cannot sue a vaccine manufacturer, that can shift the political discussion 10 points, which is huge when you're looking at polls and that kind of thing. So that's kind of a little background. So now we've got basically five companies that are jockeying for position in having a COVID vaccine. They would have to tie me down and forcibly put that in my arm to take.
Absolutely. The constitutionalist Alan Dershowitz said, and I quote, that the government has the right to force you, to hold you, to force you, and to, quote, stab the vaccination in your arm. Constitutionally, they have the right to do so. And I am in total disagreement with that. By the way, hold just a moment. We have a caller on the line. Go with the question or comment, please.
Oh, hi. I was just calling to ask some questions that I do know the answer to. I wanted to see what your guest had to say today. Has anybody classified this as a new virus? has an actual study been done to classify this as a new virus?
Well, there's debate. You know, I've read Andy Kaufman's work, and then another fellow, his name is escaping me at the moment. They have not been able to prove the virus by Koch's postulate, which, you know, we don't necessarily have to go down that rabbit hole for time's sake. Judy Mikovits, she believes that it is a virus. I do believe that it is a virus. I think that there's just too much evidence in terms of spread and so forth. So even though, you know, they may have not been able to prove by strict scientific standards, I think there's enough evidence to support that. I do think, however, that the virus is not nearly as bad as they make it out to be. And I think the take-home message from my discussion today is that if you do a few basic things to keep yourself healthy, when you come in contact with this virus, it does not have to be something that terrifies you or changes your life. I don't know if that answers your question.
Oh, yes, it does. I knew that they hadn't actually taken tissue samples and done everything that they've needed to do to actually classify this as a new virus, scientifically speaking. Also, do you know what type of receptors that this virus has on it?
Well, they talk about the ACE2 receptor. You know, there was some suspicion early on that ACE inhibitors would be a problem with this. They've since found that that doesn't seem to be the case. So in terms of, you know, I've looked at the charts and I've seen the graphs. I don't try to memorize. I got enough stuff floating through my head. some of that stuff, it's hard to recall all that. You may know more about that, the receptors, than I do.
I had heard that it had HIV attachments, or I don't know what you would call those, on the virus. And so if that is the case, then it would be logically to think that since HIV is only processed through fluid and blood transfers, then breathing should have no effect on transferring the virus.
State your question again for me. I can barely hear you, so I have to speak up a little bit.
Oh, yes. I was just saying that I had heard there was HIV receptor, or not receptors, but that's how it would transfer. It had HIV prongs on the outside of the virus. And I don't know if you had heard that, if that's the way it sticks in your body. And if that is the case, then logically speaking, then it wouldn't transfer via breath. It would transfer via bodily fluids, correct?
Well, I don't know that anyone's proven. They do know that it appears that the virus is more heavily contained in fine aerosol, not so much in the large droplets. But I think that there is virus in those things that can be transmitted. But, you know, you can do, if you take, for example, 5,000 units of vitamin A and 5,000 units of vitamin D3 daily, that will help to strengthen your immune system and help to resist the virus from getting into your cells in the first place.
And I could attest to that because I have had visitors from out of town this whole entire year. I've actually taken a plane ride myself. I've been to work every single day. I've not been able to work from home. I don't use a mask. I take vitamin C and zinc, and I have not been sick this whole entire year. So no mask needed.
Well, I tell people, some people are surprised. I've had absolutely no patients in the hospital with COVID. I had one who was ventilator bound, and we turned him around with two IV ozone treatments, and that's a discussion for another day. And I've written for maybe 5 to 10 hydroxychloroquine budesonide scripts. Apart from that, it's been quiet. And so, again, trying to reassure that if you take extra A, D, C, and zinc, there's other things you could take, N-acetylcysteine, and, you know, we can go down the weeds and a lot of stuff like that. But keeping your stress down, getting plenty of rest, not fretting, we're going to get through this. And we need to allow, in my opinion, we need to stop these lockdowns. We need to allow, just let the virus run its course. If we had done this, I believe it would have been over with in the summertime. I don't think we'd be going through all this nonsense.
Absolutely. I'm in agreement with that. Thank you so much for calling today. Doctor, let me ask you a question. You touched on it, and it brought the question back to my mind. What is called herd immunity? What is your position on that? Because the Socialist, Marxist, Communist, BLM, Democratic Party, along with the Marxist news media, they've said, simply rejected that at every turn. And you touched on HCQ, and I don't know if anybody's aware of it, even if you're aware of it, but Ron Johnson, Senator Ron Johnson, has had, as the chairman of the Committee on Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs, has had a full committee hearing this week on the question of HCQ. And they had fantastic doctors that was reporting on that. And yet it's not been anything made as far as public news on it. And I'm looking at the article and the testimony from the physicians, and it's fantastic. And I believe that we have all of the news media and the Socialist, Marxist, Communist Party called the Democrats that are responsible for, and this article attests to that, maybe as many as 190 to 200,000 COVID deaths as a result of refusing to allow hydroxychloroquine to be used for the first response to a positive test. What are your positions on that and your thoughts?
Well, I think, you know, the one thing about HCQ you have to be just a little careful with is there are some people that can have some rhythm problems in their heart. So there is some talk and some stuff about that. What I do now is I kind of compromise. I put people on one HCQ daily instead of one twice a day. I do think it works. I don't know, Doc, if you heard about the six countries over in Africa. This data was around in August where they had a total
yes.
of less than 15 deaths in six countries.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that should be all over the evening news. That should be headline stuff. And all these people, they're all on antimalarials, which, of course, is what HCQ is. It's an antimalarial.
Exactly.
And so the medicine works. What the FDA did, you know, they were trying to push remdesivir, which is a $3,000, you know, drug. So they had to, the FDA had to come up with a negative study to put the kibosh on it. So they took X number of people that had one foot in the grave, one on the banana peel, split them in two, half to give HCQ, the other they didn't. And they say, well, there's no significant difference. Well, shoot, anybody could predict that. So as you point out, if you have about a 4 to 5 day window between the start of symptoms and this feared cytokine storm. So what I tell my patients is I have them on ACD zinc, the little regimen. I use silver hydrosol. I got a whole little cocktail thing I use. And I tell them, look, if you come down with the flu, which is headache, exhaustion, it's usually very, very tired, achy, fever, that sort of thing, and not many symptoms of a cold, like you don't see much runny nose and that kind of thing, call me day or night, and I'll put you on HCQ and budesonide. And it's worked beautifully. And I think if we did that plus strengthen people's immune system, this thing will just pass, and it will just be a ho-hum.
Absolutely. Doctor, hang on just for a minute. I believe we have another call on the line. Give me the question or comment, please.
Yes. Concerning the spike on positive tests, it is simply because we have more testing, and also the testing is being manipulated, just like the 2020 election. I do not doubt it if it is Dominion computers collecting the data in order to hurt Trump and the economy.
I believe you're exactly right, and with that statement being made, I'll address it very quickly, for our time is rapidly dissipating. But I believe that 2021, January the 20th, I believe President Donald J. Trump will be starting his second term in office, because I believe there's enough empirical evidence that will come to the forefront. And I've said probably 100 times on this broadcast, if President Trump can get his case to the Supreme Court, he wins. If it does not go before the Supreme Court, he loses. And so we need to be praying that Donald J. Trump's cases across the nation, and especially in the battleground states, will get to the Supreme Court. And I believe if it gets to that point, I believe we will have victory for President Trump on January the 20th. But keep on praying. Keep on looking up. I believe God is still able, and I believe God will still give us the victory by his divine intervention, just as he did in November of 2016 when President Trump was elected as the 45th President of the United States of America. He was going to clean up the swamp, but he didn't realize it's a sewer. But thank you so much for your call. I believe we have another call on the line. Go over the question or comment, please.
Oh, hello?
Hello?
Yeah, I just want to say I'm one of Dr. Grable's patients, and he is fantastic, and I wouldn't go anywhere else. And he has a lot of great therapies that will assist your body in healing itself. So that's what I like about him. He goes the natural way. I love it. All right, thank
Amen.
You.
Great. Thank you so much for your call. Dr. Grable, I think we've got about a minute and a half left. I want you to take these last few moments, and I want you to talk with our listeners about your practice, where you're located, how they can reach you, and why it is so vital for us to deal with the whole body and not just with the medications.
Well, you can find my website is Dr. Grable, that's drgrable.com. And so I've got a nice, you know, description of my practice and what I do and why I do it and so forth. So I think that doctors in general are more gravitating towards functional medicine because it just makes sense. And we realize that just, you know, throwing drugs at things just isn't the answer, that our bodies have an amazing ability to heal. If people had any idea how powerful their immune systems are, we don't know the first thing about the immune system. One last thing before we break, and I hear the music, is I would encourage your listeners to go to childrenshealthdefense.org, RFK Jr.'s website, and read about the various vaccines.
Very good. Well, Dr. Grable, I want you to know that we are profoundly thankful for you coming on today and what you've shared with us. And I pray that our listeners will listen up and recognize we don't need to live in fear. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us on the air today as we face the issues. Looking forward to meeting you next time as, once again, we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1/2 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 9:45 p.m., for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard in its entirety 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM and 93.3 HD3. You're also invited to tune in Sunday mornings at 8 a.m. on Talk 100.3 for expository preaching. Tune in and invite others to listen.